The mid-morning commodity market report. Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 618 and a half, up 10 and a quarter. Soft September, 529 and a quarter, up 4. September corn, 341 and now 341 even, up 5 and a quarter. December, 351 and 3 quarters, up 5 and a quarter. July, at 380 and a half, up 5. September soybeans, 1072 and 3 quarters, up 8 and a half. November, 1009 and a half, up 6 and a quarter. July, 1037 and a half, up 6. September soybean meal, 436.80, up 5.40. September soybean oil, 31.95, down 2. October live cattle, 159, 37 and a half, now 35, up 2.30. September feeders, 225.25, up 145. And October lean hogs are 105.32 and a half, and they are up 267 and one half.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, the weather maps have turned colder once again, and World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner even now suggesting that the cold air next week late will inflict some crop damage in the northwestern Corn Belt. Are we seeing short covering off of that kind of news today?
Yeah, and I think we've seen some short covering off of the biggest nemesis of this week, and why, you know, in the midst of me searching for a post-Labor Day holiday bounce like we had in early September in 2009, we've had in the midst of that search a real surge in the U.S. dollar, and it's been because of renewed tensions in the Ukraine and Russia, which surprised me that the dollar went up that much. But now with a ceasefire being announced earlier this morning and jobs data that did not come out as good as the trade was expecting, we've got a little bit of a pushback by the dollar bears. And I think this is a developing story that will be much, much more important to the funds and the asset allocation, and whether we see a top in the S&P 500, Dave, and a bottom in the grain markets. And this is something that I've essentially been watching for and trying to pick points where it would be most likely to happen ever since the July 4th holiday. I think we're back at one of those points here, and obviously the weather can't do anything but help, because the trade has been in the mindset of perfect weather conditions, because it has been, in many cases and in many parts of the country, near perfect weather.
Well, it does appear to be a race to the bottom among international bankers and their interest rates. The dollar this week going above a downtrend line from the 2010 and 2013 highs. What do you think the outlook for the dollar is over the next, say, 30 days or so?
Well, I think the ECB interest rate cut was a shock to the market. It was certainly a shock to me. I didn't think Mario Draghi would do something like that ahead of the NATO meeting and ahead of some of the other key features that are going on politically in the European Union, because it does signal to the market that they are tipping in recession again, and that these Russian sanctions are probably hurting them more than the Russians. And so they are in a recessionary situation again, and looking at that in the face, and potentially deflationary situation again. So you're right, it gave courage to the asset bulls in equities, the asset bulls in bonds, and that again continues to keep the grains in a race to the bottom with the monetary policy. My outlook, to answer your question, has been that the dollar is probably not a very good safe haven at this stage of the game because of our international foreign policy that we've had so to date. I can understand with good economic data here in the United States why we would start to see the dollar as an attractive feature on oversold conditions, but I would not be expecting the dollar to be much more than a trading range affair this next 3 months, essentially, without some type of additional shock like another rate cut by some other country.
Okay, so futures are up in the grain pits today, modestly, but the weekly charts don't look very spiffy.
No, they don't. And I think this is where you cannot lift paper hedges given the chart outlook. You cannot lift paper hedges given the private trade guesses when it comes to the numbers that we were told on Tuesday. And you cannot, most importantly, lift hedges when the USDA is bucking the sudden death white mold issues and raising crop conditions 2 points and good to excellent in soybeans like they did this week, which that to me was a stunner because I actually thought that we'd see a 1 to 2 point decline because of the anecdotal evidence and the client calls that I've been getting the last week, week and a half across the whole middle part of the country. So my take is don't lift hedges in paper, especially if you're light sold on corn like I am in the cash market for 2014, but you can roll down hedges. And I think this makes sense as well just because we're heading towards that week, that infamous week of 9/11. And that this year, especially given what's going on with Al-Qaeda and ISIS, I think it makes sense to take profit on positions heading into the report this year.
Do you think that the risk to the downside, as we look at it today, might be 950 November beans and, I don't know, 3.25 December corn?
I have a hard time seeing that in the short term. I'm essentially where I was last Friday. Technically speaking and statistically speaking, Dave, it's hard for me to envision that in the short term. And I'll tell you why. The lead month price probabilities over the last 5 years, which would incorporate 2009, is suggesting that corn is now at 90% of its price level to the downside. So there's a 10% likelihood at this stage of the game, based upon the last 5 years of lead month futures, that we will go lower here on the short-term basis. The stochastics are pointing to that. I think most important to me is that when I looked at the crop conditions from Tuesday's report, when this frost issue became more of a something on the radar screen of the trade, beans dropping leaves in Minnesota is at 0% right now. So I think the bean market, between that and the cash, is still in the short term the most susceptible to a short covering rally that could be sharp in terms of price movement up to the upside. The last thing I'll throw out is that I did send up the private guesses to the news wires this morning on the bean yield and the corn yield, 169.9 on corn, 45.8 on beans, low compared to what we saw earlier this week. But I think even with that in mind, if you look at where we're at in lead month futures, at corn 333.5 this week would suggest to me you're well over a 2.2 billion bushel carryover factored into price. Beans at 1064 lead month, you're between 440 and 465 for a 14-15 carryover. So that's kind of how I'm shaping it up going into the report next week.
So that would suggest that if USDA were to give us something like 171 on the corn, what you could see is a dip down and then a quick recovery.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, especially if the wheat had indeed found a bottom like it's trying to carve out once again. Here's the other thing about the report in September, I think, is really pertinent and important to the trade. We think that U.S. stocks are going to go up, but mm-hmm. What do the world stocks do? Russia increases in wheat could be offset by Canadian and French cuts. U.S. increases in corn could be, and I think will be, offset by Chinese production cuts. In the oil seeds, the demand continues to be very strong. So what I'm getting at is, what does the world number look like if the ending stocks in the world don't go up, in the feed grains especially? Does that mean the stocks-to-use ratio actually goes down some? And so you can start saying in the trade mindset, well, maybe the supplies are no longer getting bigger than demand. And I think that would be a big hinge point once we get past the September trade. Just to give you an idea, that 169.9 yield on the corn, that came from the 2009 crop. We went up 1.5% in corn yield by USDA in 2009, and so I essentially added 1.5% to the August number to get me right around 170.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Current tick in the marketplace, September corn, 341, up 5.25. December, 351 3/4, up 5.25. July at 380 up 4.5. September soybeans, 1070 up 5.75. November, 1007.25 up 4. July, 1035.5 up 4. September soybean meal, 436.80 up 540. September soybean oil, 31.95 down 2. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.